Today we celebrate Father's Day. As children of God, we are blessed. Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, creator and sustainer of the whole universe, that's our Father. We can't comprehend anything about God fully at all. There's two things I just want to just give an example of why we can't, how far, how big, how amazing God is. God spoke creation, the universe, into existence, of which my mind can't even begin to comprehend. The size of one star, and this one star isn't even nearly the largest. It's not even close to being the largest, but it's one that my mind can kind of comprehend. Its name is Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse. It's twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. So if you take the sun and the Earth going around the sun, you take that diameter of that from the Earth rotating around the sun, it's twice that size. One sun, it is not even remotely close to being the largest sun. My mind can barely comprehend that. To give you an idea of the space or the size, our sun's diameter is 865,000 miles. That's big, 865,000 miles. That's the diameter of our sun. Betelgeuse, 371 million miles in diameter. That's just one star that God created. My mind can't even imagine that. Number two, that just so that we know that we can't even begin to understand God. Our body, 75 trillion cells in our body. 50,000 of them die every 3 seconds and are replaced every 3 seconds. You wonder why we're tired all the time. 50,000 cells every 3 seconds. By the time I say that, 50,000 cells have died and been replaced. This is even beyond that. One cell, remember, we got 75 trillion cells. One cell in our body has 3 billion characters. That's just one person. I can't comprehend creation. I can't comprehend my own body, how complicated it is. I understand or comprehend our Heavenly Father way less than our children understood me when they were a month or two old. We will be in Psalms today. And just as we can get a small understanding of the creation as we look at it, we can't fully understand it, but we could see it, and we could be amazed by it, and we could just say, what an awesome God. The same with Scripture. Somehow God in Scripture has made it possible for understanding and knowing the Creator. In Scripture. I mean, I think creation, I can't understand that God spoke. And God has made it possible for us to know Him in His Word. So I just wanted to open with that today. We will be with Psalms today. And David helps us to understand this amazing Almighty God using the example of shepherd and sheep. I didn't know this before, but it was very common in David's time for kings to consider themselves as shepherds of their kingdom. They're the king, they're the shepherd. The people that they were king over, they were these stupid, dumb sheep. Kings considered themselves this. In David's younger life, a large roaring beast came against Israel. David was not physically king yet. However, he had been anointed to be a king. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. Then Samuel, and David wasn't the first choice. His dad didn't even bring him in to be even looked upon. Verse 13 of chapter 16. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of Yahweh came mightily upon David from that day forward, and Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So the Spirit of the Lord came, of God came upon within him. And at this point, King Saul and all the warriors of Israel feared this beast, but David did not. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting with verse 33 to read to verse 37. They're all fearing this, but Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, you're a little kid, while he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was shepherding his father's sheep, and a lion and a bear would come and take a lamb from the flock. And I would go out after it and strike it and rescue the lamb from its mouth. Then it rose up against me. I would seize it by its beard and strike it down and put it to death. Your servant struck down both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Why? Since he has reproached the battle lions of the living God." And David said, "Yahweh, who delivered me from the hand of the lion and from the hand of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may Yahweh be with you." David had no fear, and he risked his life for the sheep that day, for Israel that day, just as he had done before, risking his life for sheep. The Lord God Almighty had made David their king, their shepherd. We're going to be in Psalm 23 today. But Psalm 23 is kind of like a trilogy. It's connected very closely with Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. Psalm 22 is called or considered the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23 is considered the Great Shepherd. Psalm 24 is considered the Chief Shepherd. A brief overview of 22, David gives description, words, pictures of how he is being treated and feeling. Just as David was in a small way a shepherd and a king, so in a similar way, he was persecuted and went through tough circumstances. Get to read Psalm 22, verses 11 through 21. And this is just how David was feeling at the time. "Be not far from me, for distress is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouths at me. As a lion that tears and roars, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. In Psalm 22, we see Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. Why? Well, John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's what Jesus did for us. So we will be starting in Psalm 23 now. So the good shepherd, he laid down his life for us. So now, the great shepherd, Hebrews 13:20. Oh, I have that here. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, our Lord Jesus. The great shepherd, Yahweh, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the creator and sustainer of the whole entire universe. He was David's, he's our shepherd. Think about it. The God who created everything that we can't even believe to understand. For some reason, he's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. It's amazing. Colossians 1:15-17. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of all creation. For in him, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I'd heard before that scientists, doctors, they can't understand what holds a body together. Because they can't understand, they don't know God. God's what holds our body together. Yeah, the creator and sustainer of the universe is our shepherd. What is there that he cannot provide? It helped David to understand the Lord with him being a shepherd at one time. He understood what sheep are like, not very intelligent, and having needs that had to be met. David calls the Lord God Almighty his shepherd. His ability to do things and understanding were similar in a small way to that of a sheep, which is David, compared to a shepherd, the Lord. I've never been a shepherd. The closest I have in my life is at one time being a child and later being a father. Today is Father's Day, and as fathers, we have children. As we raise our children, when they are babes and young, our understanding and abilities are much greater than theirs. We are to care for, protect, teach, and as they grow up, someday we hope and pray and do what we can in hope that they come to a place where they grow and mature and someday know, follow, and serve the Lord, the shepherd. Going back to the text, David knew he could not take his next breath without the help of his shepherd. And all the different things I was studying, I was in McGee's book, and somebody came up to Vernon McGee one day after he had given a sermon. It was on Psalm 23. And this guy came up to me and said, McGee was told and shown some sheep. Man told him, these sheep are stubborn, hard-headed, and pig-headed animals. Besides that, they are dirty and filthy. I said, that's a picture of the human race. They do set us forth. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep only will lie down when their tummies are full. And it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Well, he's able to do that. Why? Because our tummies are full. And even when they lie down, there's green pastures, which means there's more around us that we could eat. He doesn't just fill up our stomachs. He's way more than we could ever even take. He leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep are frightened of turbulent waters. They do not like stagnant waters. They don't want to drink where the hogs drink. It must not be easy to get sheep to drink. It's task. John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. And in some day coming, Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will shepherd them and will guide them to springs of the living water, of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Just as a shepherd makes sure that the lambs, the sheep, are fed and have water to drink, so the Lord does with us. Starting with verse 3, it's like, I'm not sure sheep can really understand this, but we're still dumb like sheep. We're still filthy like sheep. He restores my soul. David, like a wandering sheep, sinned against the Lord. But the Lord found David and restored. He brought David back to him. There's three times, David in Psalm 51, 11 and 12. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Jeremiah reads, return, O faithless sons, I will heal your faithlessness. Behold, we come to you, for you are Yahweh our God. And in Micah 7:18-19, who is a God like you who forgives iniquity and passes over the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? He does not hold fast to his anger forever, because he delights in loving kindness. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Restore my soul. This, like a sheep, cannot be done in our own ability. We can't restore our souls any more than a sheep can do anything. But can be done and is done by our Lord, by our good and great shepherd. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. It is not true now in today's times, but in David's time And even when Christ was on the earth, shepherds physically led and walked with the sheep day after day. They basically lived with the sheep. The sheep didn't go anywhere without the shepherd leading them. That's the way it was during David's time. That's the way it was during Christ's time. You go out and look at a shepherd now, there's nobody ever out there. If something comes up against that sheep, it's gone. The sheep knew their shepherd. He would lead them, and they would follow their shepherd. John 10, 22 through 30. At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us openly." Then Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life to them. And they will never perish, ever. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." He guides me, he protects me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. If a group of sheep were to stop following or being led by the shepherd, that might influence other sheep to go with them. Instead, be like this. Instead of being leading people astray, let's live like this. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, so that we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves of carried about by every wind and doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceit, scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together, held together by what every joint supplies, according to the properly measured working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Work together. Every part, every sheep here, doing their share, help one another to follow the shepherd. Working together, supporting one another as one body, as one flock. Verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." David did not know, nor do we know when our moment of death will be. However, as we live in this valley, we need not to fear, for the Lord is constantly with us, protecting and guiding us. Joshua 1:5, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." Philippians 1:19 through 21, "For I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So how are we to walk through the valley of the shadow of life, or the shadow of the valley of that's Jesus' words and examples of how to live until we are no longer living or working. Another scripture, Matthew 16:24-25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, the shepherd, as a sheep, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He is with us. What other hope do we have? Well, not only is he with us, guiding us, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod and for a shepherd was for defense, protecting the sheep from predators, those wanting to kill and take them. Psalm 34:7, the angel of Yahweh encamps around those who fear him, and he rescues them. And I really enjoy this verse because it's the next one, because it's another verse. I can't understand creation at all. I can't understand not in my own body. And the next one is another one we can't fully even get a grasp of. 2 Kings 6:17. They're in fear. They're in fear. And then Elisha prayed and said, oh Yahweh, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Nothing's going to happen to us physically or spiritually that God does not allow. And the last one for his rod, Luke 21:16-18. But you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet, not a hair of your head will perish. Why? Because your rod will protect me. The staff safely led and guide away from cliffs, from pits, from raging water, and to get us back into the fold. Psalm 48:14, for this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us over death. And guide Psalm 73:21-26. Then with my heart was embittered, and I was pierced within. Then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like an animal before you, maybe a sheep. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will lead me and afterward take me in glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is my rock of my heart and my portion forever. Jesus' words tell us how we are to work in serving one another as we go through life. You see, I'm using a lot of scripture passages today. I figure scripture is more accurate and more honoring than my words. Mark 10, 41 through 45. And hearing this, the 10 began to feel indignant with James and John. And calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." The perfect example for us to follow. Verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." The Lord God Almighty prepares. He works in providing our needs, physical and spiritual, even with the enemies in our presence, physical and spiritual enemies. He anoints head with oil. That's an honor done for honored guests. He honors us in ways that we can't begin. We are honored and blessed in and through and what is given to us each day. How much? As David wrote, "My cup overflows. More than I need, abundant." Verse 6, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life." They're going to be coming after me all the days of my life. Goodness and loving kindness. Isaiah 40:11. "I, like a shepherd, he will shepherd his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." Lambs. Therefore, Psalm 16:9-11, "Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely." Why? "For you will not forsake my soul to Sheol. You will not give your Holy One over to see corruption. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." Jesus in Matthew 6:31-33. "So then, do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing?' For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever." The last and greatest comfort. And it kind of continues on in chapter 24 of Psalm. Psalm 24 is a chief shepherd. The first six verses of 24, I'll read them. "The earth is Yahweh's as well as its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the mountain of Yahweh? And who may rise in his holy place? He who has innocent hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to the worthless and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall lift up a blessing from Yahweh and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Pay heed, O Jacob. Everything on the earth is Yahweh's. Everyone, every creature, every seed, everything. And he goes on through 3-6. Who may ascend to the mountain of Yahweh, into heaven, his holy place? Jesus lived a perfect life, meeting these requirements. Those who are his sheep, that seek and know him, will also be in heaven. Verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? Yahweh, strong and mighty. Yahweh, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift yourselves up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he? This King of glory. Yahweh, our host. He is the King of glory. When Jesus Christ will return and set up the new Jerusalem. Last couple of verses here. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the festal gathering and assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. And in Revelation 21:2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, will return. Until that day comes, I challenge each of us to help the shepherd in shepherding the flock around us. As under shepherds, the Lord using us in helping to guide, feed, and protect the flock around us. Not in our ability, but in his ability in and through us. Last verse. Shepherd the flock of God among you, overseeing, not under compulsion, but willingly, according to God, and not for dishonest gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The sad thing that I found out going through this text that pierced my heart. Psalm 23 is a favorite among Jews. It is sung today. It's the song that is sung on the Sabbath. And my heart hurts because they sing this song. They don't understand that the Messiah has come, that salvation is available, and everything we have in and through Christ is because of this. And let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for miraculously helping us to know and understand you. Lord, in such a small, minute, we can't even become to think about how little we can know you. But Lord, we know you. And you know us. You love us. You sent your Son to die for us. We have the life that we have in Christ because of that sacrifice. Lord, help us while we are in this world to be vessels, to to be instruments, to be sheep used in and by your hand. We thank you again for everything we have in and through your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.